we can pick out two key aspects of this day. First of all, the necessity for us to pray with perseverance, a lesson that's clear from today's readings. And secondly, today is World Mission Sunday, which is our annual reminder that we are a missionary church and that each one of us is a missionary by the fact that we are baptized. So prayer and mission. And both of these are important. Prayer relates especially to the commandment of love of God, and Mission Sunday points to an aspect of the commandment, love of neighbor. So of course we need both of them. But love of God comes first. So let's start with our call to prayer, to persevering prayer. Without prayer, we won't be very good at loving God or loving our neighbor anyway. So let's start with prayer. The lesson about prayer is clear from this unusual parable that Jesus tells us. He says it's a parable, or the gospel says it's a parable about the necessity for them to pray always, or for us to pray always, without growing weary. This is the story about the widow and the dishonest judge. The parable shows that if a helpless widow facing a dishonest judge, someone who's not at all likely to give a just decision or even pay any attention, if this widow can persevere in this helpless situation, well, all the more should we be able to persevere when we're speaking to a just and loving God. So it's a lesson in perseverance. A little bit unusual because Jesus implies that we have to bother God. We have to threaten to strike him. That's not what he means. But in our experience of praying, sometimes we can feel very much like that poor widow. The story from the first reading, though, teaches the same lesson, and I think it might be easier to get into. This episode in the first reading comes from the time shortly after Moses led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. Remember, they passed through the Red Sea, and then they had to journey through the desert. Well, they're still very early in this desert journey. They haven't even reached Mount Sinai yet, so they haven't even received the Ten Commandments. And along comes trouble. A warring tribe, the Amalekites, led by their chief Amalek, they come and wage war against Israel. Now maybe they thought that since God had set them free, since God was on their side, since God had shown himself so powerful in defeating the whole Egyptian army in one night, maybe they thought they would have no more wars, they would have no more problems. But the arrival of Amalek tells them no, the struggle continues, even after leaving slavery behind. And this is a valuable point for us right here. We who have left sin behind, we still have a battle. We still have a struggle. We have not yet reached the promised land. We are still pilgrims, pilgrims of hope, as the Jubilee year reminds us. And we have many battles still to fight. Well, how does this particular battle go? Well, Moses sends young Joshua out into the battlefield with his sword and with the army. Meanwhile, Moses himself climbs a hill, together with two companions, his elder brother Aaron and another man, Hur, one of the tribal leaders. What does Joshua think of this arrangement? Well, we're not told. Maybe he would have preferred that these three men would pick up swords and fight with him. Or maybe not, because after all, Moses and Aaron at least were in their 80s already, so maybe he wouldn't want them on the battlefield. But whatever Joshua thought, his concern, Joshua's concern, was with the fight, with Amalek, who he was facing, sword in hand. He may not have paid much attention at all to whatever was happening on the hilltop. Maybe he couldn't even see Moses, I don't know. But this reading tells us that when Moses' hands are raised up, then Joshua starts winning the battle. And when Moses' hands are lowered, Joshua starts losing the battle. Now, this raising up of hands in the Bible is a gesture of prayer. So this is certainly about prayer. It's not about raising of hands. It's about prayer. In other words, when Moses prays, the Israelites win. And when Moses gets tired of praying, they lose. It's very clear. The key to winning the battle is not Joshua's sword, but Moses' prayer. Now, we often forget this. Maybe we haven't learned it well enough, or maybe we're not seeing with eyes of faith. But prayer is a more powerful weapon than the weapons of war. Prayer changes things. Prayer opens us to divine power, the power of God at work in the world. Now, it's only with faith that we can understand this truth, because we can't see it. But faith opens the eyes of our hearts to what is hidden from the eyes in our heads. Faith is what makes it possible to persevere in the battle of prayer. In the news this past week, the good news for a change was that the war in Gaza came to an end. At last, after more than 2 years, peace between Israel and Hamas. And of course, the media gives the credit to President Trump. He was the key public figure. He was the Joshua, you could say. Well, if Trump was the Joshua, who were the Moses, the Aaron, and the Hur? Everyone fighting by praying for peace. Everyone seemingly remote from the battle, maybe even on the other side of the world, praying for peace. The war was ended more through prayer than through weapons or through human negotiations. And because peace is very fragile, we shouldn't just stop praying for peace now. We have to continue to pray for peace. We have to continue to do fight the battle. That's our role, we who are on the hilltop. What we learn from this is that battles, and I'm talking about all battles, not only physical warfare, but also personal struggles, social issues, spiritual conflicts, all battles have two levels, the earthly level and the heavenly level. The level of Joshua's sword and the level of Moses' hands. And what makes the most difference is the heavenly level, the prayer level. We can only see this difference with eyes of faith. You see, it's not obvious to us that prayer does anything, that it makes any difference. We can often have the experience of getting tired of praying. And this is what happens to Moses. It says it right in the reading. He gets tired of holding up his hands. He gets tired of praying. We all do. It's hard to persevere. We think that when we pray, what we pray for should happen immediately. And often it doesn't. We prayed for peace for 2 years before that war came to an end. And even now it's still very fragile. Anyway, we get tired. We get tired. And when we get tired, we get tempted to give up on prayer. Anyone who's tried praying has this experience. I prayed already. We say, I prayed already, nothing happened. Why bother? Why continue? We can feel like that widow in the gospel. We can feel like God is not listening to us. He's not fair. He doesn't care. That's how it feels, because he seems to be ignoring us. This is why perseverance is absolutely necessary in the battle of prayer. Don't give up in the battle of prayer. Don't give up. Don't get tired, so tired that you stop praying. Now, the story also teaches us that we should not expect to pray alone. We need help. We need companions. Moses did not pray alone. Aaron and Hur, they give him a rock to sit on, and they hold up his hands. This represents support in communal prayer, support in the battle of prayer. It's the prayer of three men who are united, not just one. As powerful as Moses' prayer is, he's not powerful. He depends on his two companions. We're practicing communal prayer right now, right here in the Mass. This is the highest form of prayer, the Mass. And we're here for, about an hour? We stay here about an hour? It's hard to pray alone for an hour. Our mind gets distracted, we get tired, we think nothing's happening. So it's good to get together with others who support us in our prayer and whom we support. It helps to have others pray with us and for us, especially when we get tired. So don't be embarrassed to ask for others to pray for you, to pray with you, including the saints in heaven. They never get tired. So frequently call on the intercession of the saints. Now, the first aspect of this day, I said, is prayer. The other aspect comes from the fact that today is World Mission Sunday. Maybe we don't have to spend as much time reflecting on that, but we should recall that the mission of the church from the time of Jesus until the time he comes again continues. And that mission is to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make disciples. Disciples of all nations. There's still a lot of work left to be done. There's still a lot of mission work, starting in our own hearts, in our own families and communities, but then to the ends of the earth. It's a lot of work, and this work belongs to each and every one of us. We are all missionaries. We are all called to pray for the mission of the church and to continue the mission of the church. It's part of, as I said at the beginning, it's part of fulfilling the commandment, love of neighbor. Now, without prayer, we cannot love God or our neighbor. But let us today renew our prayer for the mission of the church, our prayer for all of our missionaries, for one another. We continue with prayer. We continue the mission of Jesus Christ in the world when we love others enough to persevere in praying for them, for whatever their needs are. And when we love them enough to share with them the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ.